Yes, welcome to the dark once again. Welcome to the dark 2021. Yay. My name is Scott Swenson, and I'm the host of A Scott in the Dark. And with the start of the new year, with episode 51, what I've decided to do is not only present this as a podcast, but I'm also doing it as a video as well, which should be available on YouTube, and there'll be links out there and you can find it. And I don't know how I'm going to post it, but we'll figure it out. So anyway, I'm doing both. So you can either watch or listen, depending on what you'd like to do. I'm really excited about starting my next 50 shows. Cause like I said, this is 51. So I'm thrilled to think that hopefully we'll have, you know, a gazillion new shows coming up here shortly. I've got a whole bunch of new ideas, and I'm hoping that they will all come to fruition, and they'll all be things that you guys are interested in and want to hear more about. So I guess that's just kind of where we're starting off. This particular episode is all about mashups. Now, I know that, you know, this is actually being recorded in January of 2021. And at this point in time, my guess is that, you know, you guys are probably recovering from the new year, the holidays, whatever else might be going on. I don't know, election, whatever. Anyway, you're probably recovering from all of that. And you're probably starting to think, well, gosh, what can I do this year that's going to be new? What new ideas, what new stories can I tell? And I was doing a coaching call with a new home haunt, actually. And we got to talking about how do we make stories new? How do we find ways to incorporate new ideas and make things seem fresh? Because, you know, we've all heard that every story has been told, you just have to find a new way to tell it. And that's probably true. But the idea is that you want to take these stories and find your own twist. What makes you unique in the way that you're telling this story, or the characters that you've put into this story, or whatever? This is, of course, assuming that you agree that a story is a valid place to start with any haunted attraction. I know there are some people who don't, and that's fine. I respectfully disagree with you. I think that it's really important to have some sort of story so that you can take guests on a journey and make it a piece of immersive theater. So without reciting the entire Follow the Story book, which, by the way, is available on Amazon, short little plug there, but without reciting that whole book, just remember that a story basically gives you your structure. It gives you a beginning, a middle, and an end, exposition, what happened before the story, the middle, which is where all the cool stuff happens, and the end is the big resolution as to what that's all about. It also provides you structure when making decisions about scenery, lighting, costuming, characters, makeup, audio, scents, you know, scent machines, animations, whatever, so that you don't just look like a showroom on a trade show floor. Gosh, wouldn't it be fun to go back to a trade show floor again? Well, hopefully soon. But anyway, you don't want to look like a trade show floor. You want to look like a haunt. You want to look like a real place that takes people away from reality into your own terrifying narrative for however long your haunt lasts. So that's just why it's important to have a story. But now you have to look at, you know, what is the story that I want to tell, or how can I tell something that's unique and different? And I think the first thing, is you need to make sure that you recognize the difference between story and location. You know, story is something that is, what is the action? What's happening? It's, as we said, the beginning, middle, and end. So in the story, you identify, you know, who is your villain? Is it a monster? Is it a human being? Is it a situation, you know, like a zombie plague, or a, dare I say, pandemic, you know? So that's what your story does. Your story is what is happening. What is your beginning, middle, and end? Where do you start? What are you aiming towards? And what is the resolution, and what is the moral? In other words, why did you tell the story? Now, does every story have to have, you know, a storybook ending moral? No, absolutely not. But I do think it's important to at least recognize, gosh, why did I take people on this journey? You know, why am I making people pay me to scare them? You know, so you've got your story, and maybe your story, let's just say for the sake of argument, your story is a hidden coven of vampires comes to life to stalk the present. They've been sleeping for, you know, 100 years, and now they've made their way to the surface, and they are now plaguing contemporary society. So you got vampires. I don't know whether vampires fall under covens or not. I know that's witches, but anyway, you got a group of vampires, you got a bunch of vampires, and they've come to wreak havoc on society. So there's your story, basically a simple storyline. Yes, it needs more details, but now you have to look at, you've identified, you know, who your villain is, what the story is, where they've come from. They've been hidden for 100 years, and where they're going. They're coming into the present day. You also need to identify who are your guests. Now, I think all too often, haunts make the decision to make their guests passive observers, just basically people who walk through a museum-like experience and look at horrible things happening. I personally don't care for that kind of haunt unless it's something really, really cool. I mean, Universal Studios, for example, in Florida, does that kind of haunt very, very well. They do great scenic that's all tied to some intellectual property, and it's sort of like going through a terrifying museum based on whatever the horror film is. Another option, of course, is to make them the victims. I think by making the guests the victims of the vampires, obviously they're going to be terrified. They're going to be it's much more easy to startle them. Your actors have a lot more to do as far as interacting with the guests, as opposed to just telling them to get out, which I absolutely can't stand. That's right up there with boo. You know, if your actors ever say get out or boo, chances are good they don't have a whole lot to do. And you as haunt owner should work on your training, and you as haunt actor should come up with more things to say than get out or boo. I'm also really tired of fresh meat. I think that works in certain scenarios if you happen to be doing a butcher, but I think there are better choices. Let's put it that way. I think there are better choices. Something that I think is interesting that I haven't seen a lot of haunts do when it comes to their guests is making their guests allies to the villain. In other words, if you're going to do this vampire scenario that we're talking about, what if, and again, I don't know whether this would work or not, the guests are transitioning into vampires. They're the latest class of recruits. They're the ones who have been bitten most recently, and it's their blood that has reinvigorated the vampires to come out of hiding. I don't know whether that's going to work or not, because it really doesn't create a whole lot of conflict between the guest and your actors, but it does create some really interesting scenarios that they might be able to see some things that if you cast them as victims, they might not get to see. Like if you wanted to do a lounge area where all the vampires are just kicking back and drinking blood and smoking hookahs and whatever vampires smoke. I don't know what that would be. Clotted blood? I don't know. Anyway, it might give you the opportunity to open up and create some unique scenes that you may not have done before. So make them or maybe perhaps the guests are the familiars for the vampires. They're the humans that take care of the vampires during the day. I don't know. But whatever it is, decide who your guests are as part of that story. And I think that will help you define the story better. It will also give your actors more to play, and it will help you in picking out, you know, what the next cool piece of scenic or animation or prop or whatever that you want to use, because you've got an interesting story, a story worth telling. So now let's talk about, we've identified what story is all about. Now let's talk about location. And the reason I mentioned my coaching call earlier is I had two different people who were involved with the same haunt, and one wanted to do a haunt in a specific location, and one wanted to tell the stories of local paranormal experiences. And we just kind of mashed those two together and created something that I thought was really, really cool. It was unique. It was true to their area, and it took place in a place that you wouldn't necessarily expect it to take place. You know, I mean, for example, when you think of vampires, the first location I think most haunters are going to go to is, well, let's do a big castle. Okay, well, yeah, been done before. And unless you own a big castle, which some of you may, I don't, but if you own a big castle, then yes, use the castle. But for the most part, if you're going to try to recreate a castle in a storefront or a warehouse, it's going to be, well, first of all, not cost effective. And secondly, probably not as well executed as it will be in your mind. You'll have these great ideas, but you won't be able to translate those into something real. It's also kind of been there, done that. You know, it's kind of old Universal Studios. I will say now, from a film standpoint, when things like Underworld created those beautiful castle scenes, that was cool because they juxtaposed them against modern day, or they juxtaposed them and placed them back in history, which was interesting and neat. So they messed not only with, they told the vampire story, vampire lichen story, but then what they did was they were able to put their own twist on it, not necessarily by playing just with location, although they did that in some of the films, but they also played with time placement in some of the films, which I thought was a very interesting choice. And it made them fresh. It made them new. So don't get locked into, well, it's vampires, it has to be a castle. Or if you're a fan of the old gothic soap opera Dark Shadows, it has to be Collinwood. Yeah, I'm old. Look, Google it, kids. Google it, you'll love it. But so you have to kind of recognize, I can tell this story in any location. Those of you who listen on a regular basis, you know that I always say I want to do something in a laundromat. I want to do a haunt that takes place completely in a laundromat. I don't know what the story is, but I think that could be a really cool location. You've also probably heard me use the phrase, it's someplace or something gone horribly, horribly wrong, proving that you can pretty much make any location work for you. With vampires, for example, back when I was still working at Busch Gardens and doing Hollow Scream, I wanted to do a vampire house. And originally I had this, this space and this budget where I could do a very tall ceilinged something, but I couldn't really afford to do a castle as well as I would have wanted to. So my original plan was, here's a group of vampires that have been sleeping for the last 100 years. And the ones that have, there are two or three that have been awake all this time, because let's face it, they're immortal. They can do that. They've been collecting items and are now the curators of this incredible museum. And that's kind of the front that has hidden these vampires. So that's this great historic museum. And I think walking through a museum after dark, having worked in a couple of museums, is creepy as all get out. So I thought that would have been a really cool idea. We then lost the original space that we were going to put this attraction in and had to move it into the bumper cars. Bumper cars have a very low ceiling, not a very high ceiling, don't look anything like a museum. So we changed the location. We kept the story, but we changed the location and made it a subway so that these vampires had been living underground, which makes sense for vampires. They like darkness. They'd been living underground, and the subway had all of a sudden cut into their underground domain, and now the vampires were intermingling with the people, and so it was vampires in the subway. Is that the first thing you think of when you think of vampires? Or are vampires the first thing you think of when you think of a subway gone horribly, horribly wrong? No, but by taking these two seemingly unrelated elements and mashing them up, smashing them together, we created something that I had not seen before and I thought was kind of cool. It made it unique. It made it fresh once again. I think the most important thing, and I think what one of the things that story exemplifies, is you can take whatever location you have or whatever location you can build and tell whatever story you want to. you know, you want to tell a story about the end of the world. You want to tell an apocalyptic story. Great. It's an apocalyptic story where everyone is trapped in a cookie factory. It's actually kind of sick if you think about it. Because, you know, what, they're going to run out of food. So what do they start eating? Raw flour? I don't know. But you have the opportunity to adapt the story to the location. This is another phrase, another way to design to budget. Make sure that you're using the assets that you have, the locations that you have, the locations that can be transformed into things, and use them appropriately to create an environment where you can tell the story. And don't get, like I said, don't get locked into, if we're telling this story, it has to take place here. Create those new stories, create those new experiences by mashing up a story and perhaps a very non-conventional location. If you're wondering, if you're having troubles wrapping your head around this, get your team together and do a little brainstorming game. Have everybody on the team write down 10 different kinds of stories. So it's, and they don't have to be complex. It's zombies taking over the world, vampires emerging after being dormant for 100 years, a new strain of lycanthropy, you know, a new kind of werewolf, a serial killer, you know, and put them on individual pieces of paper, put them in a box. Then have everybody write out a list of a bunch of different weird locations and put them in the other box. And then have one by one, have each person pull out one from each side and come up with a story that they make sense together. It's one of those, since this was recorded early in the year, you have the opportunity to actually take this time to develop something unique and new. The other advantage to using this approach is you're using things that people understand in a way that they may not be able to predict how you're going to do it. You can also take this concept if you're trying to reuse some of your assets, but you want to change your story. So make a list of all the cool things that you want to keep. You know, I've got 5 kickers in body bags. I want to keep all those. Well, can you make those body bags laundry bags and bloody up the laundry bags? And now you're in your laundromat or your dry cleaners. It's ways to sort of take those things that you've got that you think are cool and use them in a new location or a new way. Or maybe it's something as simple as you decide, gosh, you know what? I want to do a really cool library. And the building that I'm renting now has gorgeous hardwood floors. So I'm just going to put in bookcases. And then behind the bookcases, you put in those kickers. So the bookcase opens and you find all these body bags filled with semi-dead people. You know, maybe that's a way to tell a new story, because you used to be set in the morgue and now you're set in a library. And sometimes that juxtaposition of, I never expected to find that here, really startles people. It throws them for a loop. So use this exercise when you're trying to reuse your assets. Another example of how this exercise can be done, especially when you've got these kinds of assets, is challenge your team. You know, divide your team into 4 groups, give each group 3 different props, and have them come up with a story that incorporates all 3 of those props. There are those people who feel that these kinds of exercises are a complete waste of time. My feeling is these kinds of exercises are essential to develop something new. If you want to do the same old stuff over and over again, yeah, don't do these exercises. They're not going to help you. But if you want to continue to grow or find new things, which will then in turn, hopefully, knock wood, continue to expand your demographic and put more money in your pocket. So that's kind of my, and don't be afraid. Don't get, when you're doing that exercise where you divide people up into groups and give them props, tell them, you know, we can redress these props. We can change these props if we want. If you've got a jumping zombie, and you decide that you want to make it you want to go ahead and make it a Christmas themed haunt, you know, the North Pole gone horribly, horribly wrong, then put an elf hat on this zombie and make it a, you know, an elf that has gone horribly evil and wicked. You know, it's the gremlin that got wet and ate after midnight. You know, it's that kind of thing. So keep in mind that you can add bits and pieces to existing props that tie into your new story or your new location to make something new and fresh. You might also discover that you can keep your story, but change your location. This is another way to reutilize assets that you already have. So for example, you the vampires who started underground in the subway, they started in the subway. Maybe now they've graduated and have moved on to a house. So, you know, this year you're going to take the same vampires and go to the next part of the story. Again, serialization. Horror movies have used this for years. Here's the horror movie, and here's the horror movie part two, and here's the horror movie part three. And then they usually do a prequel, and, you know, but you can do those kinds of things, especially if you've had a successful year and you feel like, I don't want to lose everything, but I want to build upon the success that we've had. So you keep your story, but change your location. Or another option might be to keep your location and change the story. So going back to our vampires in the subway, the vampires have moved on or were chased out by the werewolves who were looking for a place to hide, and they liked the underground caves. So you can keep all of your same props, change all of your costumes, all of your cast, and you've got, in essence, a whole new haunt by changing the story. So there are huge advantages to separating your story, your characters, your concept from your location. And you can always go back and remix and remash these things together. You know, I've always found it fascinating to think about the house that I live in, what would my house look like if all of a sudden I was, you know, Lucy the demon dog and I were all of a sudden transformed into zombies. You know, what could I do scenically to the house? I wouldn't have to rebuild the house, but I could scenically treat it. You can do the same thing. You can change your story and keep your location. And I think that gives you a whole new way and a different way of thinking about, how do I scare people now? You don't even have to change your footprint. Of course, you've always heard, again, regular listeners, you've heard me say the easiest way to change your experience is to reverse it. Make your entrance your exit and your exit your entrance. And before you say, oh no, I could never do that, walk it. Walk it. Because I used to say the same thing, and I've discovered that you absolutely can reverse it and make it something that's totally cool. You have to be able to let go of the old in order to embrace the new, but you can absolutely do that. So I guess my point being is, if you are able to recognize that your story and that your location are not necessarily forever and ever tied together, you'll be able to change things more quickly and to create some of the most unique haunt experiences you've ever put together. So that's kind of my rant. I know this is going to be a relatively short episode, but let's face it, it's the beginning of the year and we've all got things to do. But hopefully it gets you thinking about what your story is going to be, what your location is going to be, what props you need to keep, and probably more importantly, what props you need to buy as we move forward. The reason that's important now is because there are trade shows coming up, both virtual and ones that are now scheduled to be in person, to be the real thing. Now, we'll see how our pandemic situation, I hate using the word pandemic over and over again. What's another word for it? Our health situation. We'll see how our health situation continues in this country. And hopefully, you know, right now, as I'm recording this, the numbers are skyrocketing, but hopefully we'll get those under control soon. And we'll be able to see each other in person at different trade shows. And because you will have done this exercise of identifying your story and your location early, you'll be able to go in and say, I no, I need this, this, and this, and it will make your shopping significantly easier. It will also actually be better for the vendors as well, because the vendors will be able to say, yes, I've got this, and I've got that, and I've got this, as opposed to just hoping that you see the thing that you want at their booth. This is especially going to be true with virtual trade shows. For example, I have a virtual trade show coming up later this month. HauntCon has gone virtual. It is now free to attend because it is virtual. And you can check it out online. And those of you who are watching my video see me looking weirdly at the screen. That's because I'm moving things around a little bit so I can give you the information that I need to give you. I'm actually hosting a panel, an educational panel for HauntCon this year, which is, it's called, I Didn't Think That Would Work, But It Did, Lessons Learned from the 2020 Haunt Season. It is January 19th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And like I said, I will be hosting it. And there will be some folks in the panel, Justin Fix from JFI Productions, as well as he's been confirmed, and some folks from some of my clients that I've worked with. There'll be we're looking at trying to create a very diverse panel so that we can talk about, you know, the positive side of what came out of 2020. Yes, there were a few things, but the other thing is, as part of this virtual trade show, there's also a virtual trade show floor. So you'll be able to see what vendors have, and you can check it out. You can talk to them, you can engage, and you can just make sure that you have your story together and you know what you're looking for. So you can ask them, hey, you know what, I'm doing this crazy vampire in a subway thing. Do you have anything that's either vampire or subway? And see what they say. You know, I honestly believe that vendors like you to come in with ideas so they don't have to design your haunt for you on the trade show floor. Okay. Another trade show that I am currently scheduled to do a seminar is Transworld. And Transworld is currently, fingers crossed, scheduled to be a live in-person show in St. Louis at the America's Center, and it's in May, and I'm doing a seminar there which has nothing to do with Halloween. It's called Capturing the Christmas Spirit, and because not only do I do Halloween events, I also do Christmas events, so it's called Capturing the Christmas Spirit, and it is Friday, May 7th, from 11:30 to 12:30. So if you're planning to go to Transworld, please stop in and say hello. I would love to see you. And even if you're not planning necessarily on doing a Christmas event, hopefully then I'll just see you around on the trade show floor if you don't attend my seminar. But you should, because I think it's going to be cool. Just saying. So that's the two virtual trade shows that are coming up that I know of, that I'm involved in. And if, like I said, get your stories down, get your locations down, and then you know what to shop for at these particular events. Since I've kind of entered into my promo section of the show, I would be remiss if I did not point out that we just did a brand new book. Philip Hernandez did the editing, and it's based on this show, as a matter of fact. It's called The 13 Commandments of Haunting, and it is available on Amazon, as well as my other books, Follow the Story, and then The Dark Poetry and Prose, Awake in the Dark. If you want to know where all these are available, just go to scottswenson.com/books, and you'll be able to just find links to everything I've ever written, which is kind of cool. It's sort of like a clearinghouse. Also, I'm working on a new project. Speaking of Philip, I am the co-host of I'll call it a related podcast called Green Tagged Theme Park in 30. And it is a 30-minute show where we give you the business side and the what trends are happening in theme parks, attractions, seasonal entertainment. And it's a weekly podcast. It comes out every single week on Sunday. And then we also do some special podcasts as well, on specific topics. If you'd like to learn more about Green Tagged Theme Park in 30, it's available on all the podcast carriers. And you can also go to greentaggedshow.com. So greentaggedshow.com. And you can get all the information there. The cool thing about that show is Philip puts a lot of effort into the show notes. So that you can not only listen to us talk about things, but you can also read the articles that we're talking about, as well as whatever other information is there. We also videotape that show, just like I'm doing here. So you can either watch it or listen to it. That's completely up to you. And finally, I would like to ask each and every one of you who are listening to please become subscribers to my newsletter. The only reason I say that is because it gives me the opportunity to have a one-stop shop so I can talk about everything that I'm doing, not just the things I promote at the end of the show, but also the projects that I'm working on. Sometimes I need help with things, so I'll reach out to my newsletter folks first. Or for you, what benefits you is every single month, it's a monthly newsletter, comes out on the 13th of the month, of course. It comes out every month, and in each newsletter, there is some sort of giveaway or newsletter subscriber-only content. Sometimes it's a video behind the scenes at one of the projects I'm working on. Sometimes, what has it been in the past? There was a print-at-home mask that fit over a fabric mask that magically turned you into a clown. There have been downloadable audio clips, either to talk about the COVID safety precautions in your haunted attraction, or one of them I actually did was a phone answering, like a voicemail kind of message for Halloween. We did one that I thoroughly loved, and that was a members only video Q&A with me. And it was lightly attended, but it was very well received, and it was a great experience. And we're going to do another one of those sometime in 2021. And then, of course, since I've got new books out there, it is a possibility that sometime in the near future, we might be doing raffles to give away books, to send you signed copies of the books, whatever. So just tossing that out there, might happen. So the easiest way to do that is very simply go to scottswenson.com. And on the landing page, you'll see a big banner that says, join Scott's newsletter. It's called A Shout in the Dark. And so click on that, join the newsletter. We do not sell your information. You will not get one single solitary piece of spam. It will all come through Haunted Attraction Network, and it will just come out to you, and we won't use your information for anything other than to send you cool stuff. So I guess that's about it for episode 51. I hope you continue to enjoy. I hope everyone in your family, both your real family and your After Dark family, are staying safe. And until next time, this is Scott Swenson saying, rest in peace.